Hola, Hathikan, Andoni Sremos, you know, all is lost. Well, there's the good news is that there's one story that wasn't lost, and it was because someone stood up and they pulled it all together. The history of George C. Demeter. He was a very inspirational figure in Greek American history, and I'm so pleased to have in the studio his grandnephew, who has put together a presentation. Coincidentally, it was in concert, I think, right around the time of George Demeter Day that was recognized at the State House. There was a presentation at the Maliotti Center where Peter Sinopoulos was there with Nick Tsiotas to do this wonderful presentation that was brought by the Daughters of Penelope. And we'll ask him all about it. But first, we want to just say, good morning, Peter. How are you?
Good morning, Maletti. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. So great to see you. How was it coming in this morning?
Not bad.
Not bad.
Not
huh?
bad. You never know with Boston traffic.
Yeah, so that's
true. I gave myself plenty of time.
That's true. And, you know, we're here to talk about your granduncle, George C. Demeter, and coincidentally, at the 100th anniversary of the Boston the chapter of the AHEPA.
Yes.
So I think this is a very timely thing. And with the marathon that just happened, well, I'll let you tell the story. Where should we start?
You know, it's difficult to, where do we begin? You know, George C. Demeter, he was my granduncle. He was my grandfather's younger brother, born in the late 1800s, 1893. And he's an important figure, I believe, in the Greek American experience. A couple of buzzwords come to mind. He was a scholar. He was a World War I veteran. He was an organizer. Helped organize the AHEPA. He was a newspaper editor. He was a member of the Massachusetts legislature. A famous parliamentarian. An educator, professor at BU, Northeastern, and he was a marathon official.
Really?
Of the Boston Marathon, yes.
An official, yeah. So how long ago? The marathon's been around for probably 100 years?
Well, longer than that.
Longer than that.
Well, thousands of years.
Oh, that's true, right?
It all started in ancient Greece with the running of Pheidippides.
Yes.
You know, who told the Athenians that they were successful in the battle against the Persians, the Battle of Marathon.
Right. We should mention that Nick Tsiotas had written a book that was published.
Nick Tsiotas, he and I have been teaming up and telling the George Demeter story because it's entwined with the Boston Marathon. Nick Tsiotas and Andy DeBillis co-authored a book. I believe it came out in 2000. It was Running with Pheidippides. And it's the story of the modern Greek Pheidippides, Stylianos Kyriakides, who won the Boston Marathon, a miraculous run in 1946, at a time where Greece was really flat out. And that victory, he was the first fundraising runner in the Boston Marathon. And because he won that marathon, he was able to travel the country with my Uncle George and others, spreading the word of how desperate Greece was after World War II and after the Greek Civil War that ensued for several years after World War II.
Right. They were Greece was and yes. really needed this. It needed this victory to. And so your George Demeter was a granduncle.
He was my granduncle. Yeah, my mother. He's my mother's uncle. My mother's father was Uncle George's older brother.
Right.
And they came from Greece in 1904.
Early immigrants.
Early immigrants. Yeah, my grandparents came in 1900. And they settled in Lowell, Massachusetts, and they worked in the textile mills. In the meantime, my grandfather Harry and his brother Pan, they left in 1900, and it was from the village of Tropea, which is halfway between Tripolis and Pyrgos in Arcadia.
Right.
And they went to Egypt to seek their fortune. And while in Egypt, Harry's brother, Panos, was killed in a train accident The family story was that he was robbed for his shoes, his brand new shoes that his parents had bought him for his new job. Mm. And he was robbed for his shoes and shoved in front of a train.
Oh, yikes.
Harry, in his late teens at the time, wrote to his parents and they said, listen, why don't you come to the United States? And so, undaunted, grieving for the loss of his brother, Harry went back to Greece and brought his younger brothers, George and Spear. And George was 13 years younger than his older brother, Harry, my grandfather. I didn't know my grandfather, Harry Demeter. Yeah. He died when I was very young. But I do remember my Uncle George, who lived until I was 27 years old.
Now, was George in the... Didn't your family have... they were in the food industry, the restaurant business.
Yeah. They, my grandfather, Harry, came here in Boston and worked for the Hotel Westminster, which at one time was in Copley Square. Mm-hmm. And he worked in the restaurant, and he saved all his money. He lived in the kitchen, lit the fires in the morning for the restaurant, worked, 18 hours a day. And when he wasn't working, he would go to the Copley Square Library and study English.
No kidding.
He wanted to learn to be successful, and he became successful along with his brother Spear, and they bought a restaurant in Boston about 1906, 1907, and the family all moved. Remember, the grandparents initially went to Lowell, and by the way, George Demeter was one of nine.
There was another George Demeter that was almost a contemporary.
Right, George Demeter. Yeah, George Demeter. And by the way, Demeter, my uncle George Demeter and my Demeter, my in-laws, my mother's maiden name, it was changed from Dimitrakopoulos to Demeter. The other George Demeter, and there's a lot of confusion when I'm giving my presentations, that's George Demeter. He was a famous real estate developer and entrepreneur.
Right.
And his name was Papa Demetrio, and he shortened it to Demeter.
Okay.
But the George Demeter I'm speaking about today is a previous generation. Again, these Demeters were born in the late 1800s.
Yeah. Do you know anything about your family's life back in Greece? Were they an affluent family that could, or were they?
They were shopkeepers.
Shopkeepers. Right.
Shopkeepers. And in that time in Greece, 1900, there was an economic, I don't know if I would call it a depression, but the economy wasn't doing well in Greece.
Right.
And there were problems in Asia Minor because of the breakup of the Ottoman Empire.
Right.
A lot of Greeks lived in Anatolia, and they were leaving because they were somewhat being oppressed. And there was more opportunity in the United States. You know, originally they all came over here thinking they would come here for a couple of years, send money back, but they would stay.
You know, I've read some of your granduncle's writing, and it's so articulate. His English was so, I mean, I don't know about his spoken English, but his written English was better than mine. I was very impressed.
A lot better than mine, also. Yeah. He prided himself in speaking the English language very perfectly.
Yeah.
And in fact, his stock in trade, as it was a professor in teaching parliamentary procedure and rules, and also oratory skills.
Wow.
And he didn't like my, whenever he would talk to me, and he, by the way, we would have dinners, Thanksgiving dinners, Christmas dinners, and George would preside over the table, and we would all take turns speaking, and I was the youngest, and he'd have me speak, and I'd have to speak a few lines. And even back then, he said, Peter, you say too many ands, and you have that Boston accent. He said, get rid of that Boston accent.
That's really something. So are there any recordings? There must be somewhere. He must have had a radio appearance or a television appearance in his time.
Well, you know, I haven't found any. You know, years ago, he gave me an old an old tape recorder, a reel-to-reel, this big, heavy thing. It probably weighed 60 pounds, and I had it, and I've since discarded it, you know, back then. And there might, and I think there was something on that tape. But he was very, very articulate. He taught voice and diction at the Staley School of the Spoken Word, which is around, I think, in the late, early 60s, it closed down. It was in Brookline. And a lot of local politicians and leaders in the community would go to this Staley College for finishing school. In other words, it teach them how to speak and how to conduct themselves in public. And he was a professor. He took a lot of pride in doing that. Some of his students were John F. Kennedy, Morris Tobin, Joseph Kennedy Jr., and Albert Dapper O'Neill, Boston City Councilor.
No kidding.
Character, yeah.
No kidding. Okay, I know we're jumping around and probably people's heads are spinning. For those of you that are just tuning in, our guest this morning is attorney Peter A. Sinopoulos. He is a Boston native, and we're speaking about the life of his granduncle, George C. Demeter. And what's interesting to me is that, Peter, you're a parliamentarian, and as was your uncle. So what does a parliamentarian do?
Well, we help organize and lead groups of people to make a decision in a democratic manner. It's, okay. It's about Robert's Rules of Order, his example, and Demeter wrote two manuals, in fact, in 1959 and a second edition in 1969. It was Demeter's Rules of Parliamentary Law and Procedure. It was a very successful volume. It once rivaled Robert's Rules of Order in the East Coast. And as a parliamentarian, and speaking to other parliamentarians who study parliamentary procedure and its various nuances, virtually everybody agrees that you have to read Demeter's manual to understand Robert's Rules of Order. It's a very, it prevents the subject matter in a very layman's way. And Robert's Rules of Order will say, look, this is the order of the motions. These motions take precedence over others, A, B, C, D. George Demeter will actually say the reasons why they're in an order and give you the logic behind it so you can better synthesize it and remember it.
Right. He understood that.
He did.
So,
he did.
So when he came to Boston now, I think I remember you telling me that he went to the Boston Latin School?
He went to Boston Latin School, and that's, you know, we had a little unique bond. We both went to Boston Latin School, and we would commiserate about how difficult that darn place was. And then we both became lawyers. And then in my later years, only about a dozen years ago, I followed his steps, giant steps, as a professional parliamentarian.
And so attend regular meetings to officiate?
Yes, yes. I do a lot of charitable work. I would say 75% of my assignments are nonprofits, yacht clubs. I help out with the HEPA.
Right.
I'm a past president of the George Demeter Unit of the National Association of Parliamentarians. I'm a member of the American College of Parliamentary Lawyers, the American Institute of Parliamentarians, and the National Association of Parliamentarians, and also a member of the Lead Demeter Unit of the National Association of Parliamentarians in New York. And that's the Advanced Parliamentarians Group, named after my uncle, my mother's brother. And he followed in George Demeter's steps.
Really?
His uncle,
jeez,
yes. Yeah.
That's quite a bit there. And is there a Hellenic lawyers group?
Yes, the Hellenic Bar Association.
There is,
which we established in 1998. I was the second president and one of the founding members of that.
Really?
Yes.
Jeez. So
yeah.
You take after your granduncle in this way that you're very involved with a lot of different things.
I am, not to the extent he was.
Right.
Let me tell you.
What was it in him that said education and integration, learn English and integrate? Great. What was it, do you think?
Well, I think he got that from his older brother, who was his mentor. And I have George's, a lot of his documents. And his older brother was very successful, his brother Harry. And they owned, at one time, they had two restaurants and a hotel in Boston, the Hotel Minerva, located at the corner of Massachusetts Avenue and Huntington Avenue.
Right.
Across the street from the Boston Symphony Orchestra.
Is the building still there?
It's not there. Oh. It's knocked down in the name of urban renewal in 1960. They knocked it down, and they built in its place the Midtown Motel, which now I believe that may be coming down.
Yikes.
But anyway, Harry Demeter was very successful, saved his money. They all lived together in a big house in Brookline, and they would bring the family members from Greece, and they would work in the family businesses. Hmm. And Harry was very smart, and he would speak to a lot of successful people who would visit his restaurants. And he wanted to be an American of Greek, but of Greek extract, very proud of their Greek heritage.
Yes.
But he knew that making money wasn't the end all to being successful, and success means a lot of things. But to gain true success in this country, you need to be truly educated.
Right.
So they cherry-picked George, who was very good academically. They cherry-picked him and says, George, we're going to run the business. He says, you're going to go to school, and you're going to do something with your life.
Look,
do something, okay?
Yeah.
And so he did that, and he propelled, a lot of the Greek-American experience in this country. It was just amazing, the things he did. So he goes to Boston Latin School, graduates. While at Latin School, he was the commander of the Boston Schoolboy Cadet Program.
No kidding.
Boston Latin
Leadership.
School. Leadership.
Right.
Dressed up, I have pictures of him all dressed up in his commander's regalia, his uniform. And it was a huge thing back then in the 20s, 30s, 40s, up until the 50s, where all the Boston public schools, and maybe even private schools, would gather and have these huge parades, and tens of thousands of people would show up.
Yeah.
While at Latin School, he led the Boston Latin School cadet program, and they won that year. They were the prize winners. And he was so proud of that, he told me that gave him the confidence and leadership skills. And that really was his best accomplishment of his life.
Really? It must have been.
As a youngster. And he was also a prize declamation. Now, declamation is public speaking. Anybody who went to Boston Latin School knows that every marking term, you'd have to get up in front of the class and memorize a prose and present it in front of your class. Mm-hmm. Then they would take the winners of the classroom contest, and they would have this huge, huge contest in the auditorium that held about 2,000 students, and they would have the top 10 declaimers get up there and perform, and George Demeter was a routine winner of the declamation prize. So between his experience as commander of the Boston Latin School cadet program and as a prize declaimer, that gave him that confidence to lead.
Right. And how, now, I would like to jump ahead just about maybe 10 years from that point.
Yeah.
How did he get involved with the AHEPA? Because didn't he attend the very first meetings of the AHEPA the year before he became president?
Well, first, he went to Harvard. After Boston Latin School, he went to Harvard.
Oh, okay.
Harvard. And then he graduated from Harvard, and then he was getting involved with various groups, this Huntington Avenue Association. And by the way, he was very well respected. Remember, being a graduate of Boston Latin School and Harvard College, probably one of the earlier Greeks to graduate from those places.
I can't think of
anyone. Don't have proof of whether he was the first. Probably not, but amongst the first. While he was Harvard, I'm going to jump ahead a little. I have to give you a little background on this. While he was Harvard, World War One broke out.
One or two?
World War One.
World War One.
World War One broke out because he graduated from Boston Latin School in 1914.
Oh.
And he graduated from Harvard in 1918, but he got a special degree. It was actually 1919. It was a war degree. And a lot of the Harvard students joined this Harvard Ambulance Corps.
Oh, okay. Tell us about that. That's interesting.
You know how students back to find themselves when they're in college, they go backpacking in Europe, take some time off.
Right.
Well, these Harvard Law students and a lot of these Ivy League students, they joined this American Ambulance Corps established by this Mr. Norton. And instead of backpacking and freelancing in Europe, they joined this ambulance corps, and they served as ambulance drivers and stretcher bearers for the French Army. Wow. And then they converted, when the U.S. got involved, they converted and became part of the United States Army, and George was the first sergeant. I know, based upon his Harvard military records, He joined the Army, and he attained the rank of a first sergeant, and he was involved in a lot of battles, the Marne, the Somme, Alsace, Belgian, Lorraine fronts, saw a lot of action in World War One. He was gassed.
He
was a mustard gas survivor. And, you know, he didn't talk much about his time in the military. He said, told me two things. Number one, that I can recall. Number one, he said it was more like driving a meat wagon, a butcher's wagon. He said it was terrible, bloody. But he enjoyed visiting the female nurses in Paris at the hospitals.
Right. Yeah.
So he gets out of the war, and he comes home and back to Boston, and he started this Huntington Avenue Association. He was president of that for many years. And then he heard about the AHEPA, okay, and back in 1923, and he tells the story during the AHEPA's 1,000th meeting, which was chronicled in the Helena Chronicle. He wrote an article, and he got a knock at the door from the heads of the AHEPA. Philadelphia at the time. They were started in Atlanta, Georgia, and they asked him if he would start a chapter in Boston, and he agreed to do so. But he asked the first thing, he says, well, do they follow rules? He says, do they have rules of order?
Right.
And they said, yes. And he says, well, then I'm in. So he founded, and he was the first president of the Athens chapter number 24 in Boston.
Yeah.
And then while he was president, he was also a supreme governor, and there were some problems with the AHEPA in Philadelphia at the time. It was started in 1922 in Atlanta, and there's a reason why they started.
Growing pains. These things happen, right?
Yeah.
So he jumped in, and did he have a family?
Yeah. No children.
No children.
We were his family.
Yeah.
His nieces and nephews and brothers and sisters. We were his family. Never had any children.
Yeah. Oftentimes, highly successful people, put everything into their work.
Well, he was a busy guy.
Yeah.
Busy guy. You know, and he traveled a lot with the AHEPA, and then he was elected as a Massachusetts state legislature.
Oh, okay, right.
1930.
And he must have been one of the first.
He was, according to his notes, he was the first Greek American elected to the Massachusetts legislature.
Yeah.
1930. And in fact, he says he was the first Greek American elected to any state legislature in the country. That's according to his notes. And I can find nothing to the contrary.
Right.
And he was a state rep from Back Bay, where the hotel was located on Huntington Avenue.
How about that?
Which happens to be the ending of the Boston Marathon, the finish line.
Right. Now, he was responsible for bringing over Kyriakides, wasn't he?
Yes. Yes.
Was that financial sponsorship, or both?
George, while he was a state rep, he initiated the crown, and he used to provide the wreaths to the winners of the Boston Marathon. He would give them a wreath and a medal. And if you take a look at the old documentaries about the Boston Marathon, you'll see George and Mita coming out at the end and crowning the wreath
of
the winners, which was the ancient Greek tradition. You have to understand, he wanted to be an American, but he cherished his Hellenic heritage. In fact, his notes, which I can show you, he talks about the ancient Greeks and how we're ancestors of the ancient Greeks, the birthplace of democracy and things like that. So he crowned the winners of the Boston Marathon for 16 years until 1946. That was his last crowning. Uh-huh. And
Was the tradition interrupted at that point, or did it continue?
It continued after 1946. It continued, but 1946, that was the race that Stylianos Kyriakides won. And it became an international race after that. Right. And it was such a big deal that it was, you know, that people wanted to step in, and the mayors and the governors would crown the winners from that date forward.
Now, as a historian, I'm going to switch gears a little bit, too. I want to ask you how you pulled the stories together, where you did, you know, what was it like doing the research and discovering things? Because I would imagine it was a mix of records that you could find in public, but also things that you had in the family, in your extended family. People must have given you things and said, you know, here's his journal, here's this, here's that.
Right. Yeah, several sources. One was, you know, through personal knowledge. I knew him.
You knew him.
Again, right. In
fact, passed away when? You say he was born?
He passed away in 83, soon after I passed the bar.
He lived 90 years old.
Yeah, 90 years old.
So he saw you become a lawyer.
So we would have a lot of discussions. So I my sources were from personal knowledge and family history handed down. You know, but being an attorney, and before I'm going to say something in public, I like to confirm things.
Right.
You see, so I would do a duplicate search just to confirm that, wait a minute, I heard that, but is that true? And sure enough, I found all those photographs of him crowning the winners to the marathon. In his military record was from the official records of the Harvard College,
right
out of there. That's why I can't confirm the fact that he went early on with the Canadians. We had heard that he left with the Canadians about 6 months early, but I couldn't find anything, and he never wrote about that. From his personal notes.
Okay.
In fact, this past fall, I have a cousin, Chris Demeter. He lives in Washington, D.C. His father, Judge Harry Demeter Jr., my uncle, he was the executive of George Demeter's estates. In this fall, my cousin had to attend to a funeral of a friend of his. And he says, but he stayed at my house and he brought two boxes of George Demeter's records. And we went through them and I copied some.
It's so exciting.
And that's when I found all these things about the AHEPA, you know, starting to dig in about the AHEPA and the 100th anniversary. I found quite a few things. He basically rescued the AHEPA back in 1924, in its fledgling years. He went down to the headquarters and he held a hearing, and the president was removed, and they were so impressed with George's performance that they elected him as the Supreme President to continue the 6 months of the remaining term.
And how, let's see, so he must have been about 30 years old at that time?
Yeah, about 30 years old.
Look at that.
About 30 years old. And so here he was, a Harvard graduate, Latin school graduate, lawyer, walking into this room with these AHEPAs, you know, filing these articles of impeachment. And then while he was Supreme President, I learned that he helped move them from Atlanta to Philadelphia, then Philadelphia to Washington. And during his 6 months administration, they visited the President of the United States, Calvin Coolidge, who was a governor from Massachusetts. And they were the first non-military organization, first civilian organization to lay a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, the newly created Tomb of the Unknown Soldier.
Look at that.
That was erected after World War One.
A tradition that's still going on today.
And I have those photographs.
So there's many firsts here.
Yeah,
so first. And it's amazing that his papers survived now over 100 years old now, because they go back even further.
Yeah.
What about artifacts? Could anyone go somewhere and see one of the old wreaths or something like that?
Well, you know, they're coming up with the marathon history. They're building a museum in Hopkinton, I believe, and they're looking
right.
for some artifacts.
Oh.
I do have a medal. My cousin actually has a medal that he received. He received the in 1937, he received from the Republic of Greece a medal, the Order of the Redeemer. It's the highest honor given to by the Republic of Greece, and for his meritorious service to the Republic of Greece and promoting Hellenism in the United States.
So they knew what was going on. There was, in those years, imagine that.
Yeah.
So I know we're jumping around, but just in the interest of time, we want to let people know that you have put together a presentation. You have collected this history, you've studied it, you've described it, and you have a wonderful presentation. And are you, would you go out and give that presentation?
Sure.
If you were asked? You
sure,
would?
If
yeah.
we can get 25 people together, I'll...
I think we can. And is there, how should they contact you? Should they contact me and I can...
Well, they can contact you if they can. They can contact me directly. My email address is p.sinopoulos.
Right.
Most of your audience can probably figure out how to spell that.
Yeah.
p.sinopoulos, S-E-N-O-P-O-U-L-O-S, at Outlook.com.
At Outlook.com. Back to the Demeter Manual and his is that still available?
Still available. You can get it. Again, the last edition was in 1969. It's a blue book. And it was used by most municipalities in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts in the 60s and 70s up until the early 80s.
Wasn't he teaching or coaching the...
He taught that. He was... After he was a member of the state legislature, I think it expired in 1937, he stayed on as with the Mass Legislature as an instructor in the rules of order and the procedures of the Massachusetts legislature. Yes.
That I'm getting chills hearing about it, you know, and it's really something that you've pulled together his history, because it's a deep history and it's not just one thing. And that's why it makes it very hard to condense. But if you have the opportunity, I'm speaking now to the audience, if you have the opportunity to hear the full story and attend one of Peter's talks, because I have a feeling that after this radio program, you'll be getting some phone calls. I hope so. And why is it important? Why did you entitle your presentation, George C. Demeter, An American Trailblazer? Why a trailblazer?
Well, because... he blazed the trails for those that followed. He set the tone.
He
set by an example.
Right.
You know, military service, service to his Commonwealth as a legislature, resurrecting the ancient tradition of crowning the winners of the Boston Marathon. And they used that crown in many marathons throughout the country.
It's incredible.
He was also in Urine Media. He was an editor of the Hellenic World. I mean, that can go on and on and on.
The Hellenic World. This is fascinating, too, because we know about the Hellenic Chronicle.
Right.
And but before the Hellenic Chronicle...
It was the Hellenic World newspaper. I believe it was the first mostly English-speaking English-language newspaper in the country. It survived maybe a half a dozen years in the mid-30s to the mid-40s, and it was the predecessor to the Hellenic Chronicle.
Look at that, right? Right here, published right here out of Boston.
Right.
Is that something? Does your family have any paper editions of that?
We don't.
I
might have one or two articles from there. I think you actually found the resource at the Archivos Library, and I'm gonna go down there one day and start digging in.
Yeah, it would be great. It would be wonderful to digify them. There, it's on microfilm. We don't know really how much is there.
You chronicled a lot of information.
You know, I really wish. It's funny because not a lot of our Greek American history is written, and one of the problems is if you just go into a school like the Hellenic American Academy and you asked, "What are you teaching of Greek American history?" Well, you said a word now that's a little confusing, American. See, it's the Greek history, and we're teaching all the ancient stuff.
Right.
We have to start teaching this. This could be a chapter, if not something in a course taught to students so they would know about George Demeter.
Absolutely. There's a tremendous amount of lack of information. You know, when I gave my talk at the Meliodas Center last month, I showed that a film, the NBC documentary, that was hosted by Bob Costas after the 2004 Olympic Games in Greece.
That was great.
And it was about the Kyriakides story. And I urge the members of your audience to look that up on YouTube. If you Google Stylianos Kyriakides, It's a 22-minute film about the plight of Greece, World War. And I show it to my quote, American friends, my Irish friends, and they're amazed. They had no idea that Greece was really that involved in World War II and that there was this big, terrible civil war. They were they didn't know about that. Yeah. And I showed it at the Meliodas Center, that film, and I was looking in the audience, especially the young people. They were crying. They had no idea about that.
I cried.
That.
I
they
was very moved.
And they have no idea about the trouble the Greeks had in the early 1900s with the Ku Klux Klan and anti-Greek sentiment. There were riots. Omaha, Nebraska, there were 5,000 Greeks had to move out in a two-year period of time because they were breaking up the stores.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was difficult for the early immigrants.
Yes,
they had to fight. And so a lot of people don't know that, you know. Yeah. And to think of what they endured in those years, how much they were able to accomplish with, now, you know, we have complaints and this and that, but they just found solutions, and they learned how to work together.
They did.
Which
they
was
did.
Important.
Absolutely, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, big success story.
It's, so where do we go from here?
Up to you.
I, you know, we've said quite a bit about George's story, but yet we've left out quite a bit. There's so much more to say, and I think when we first spoke, I asked you, do you see this, a book at some point on his life?
Well, we'll see. Let me talk to some of my cousins.
Would be really good to get it together.
Right. No,
did you write this up, by the way, this one page?
I did, yes, yeah.
Is that available? Could we
sure,
send
yeah,
it?
I could send that to you, yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah. I mean, could we distribute that?
Are you comfortable with that? Yes, I printed that out, you know. We didn't mention the second Wednesday in April is George Demeter Day in the Commonwealth. So we all march up to the State House. It's to...
I saw the pictures. Maybe from last year. I don't know if it was from this year or last year.
Yes, it's to commemorate his experience as a professional parliamentarian. It's second Wednesday in April by statute law in Massachusetts. So every year we go up there and the governor issues a citation proclaiming the second Wednesday of April as George Demeter Day throughout the Commonwealth.
That's so great.
Yeah.
That's so great. Well, I hope that by this time next year, or by April of next year, that we have 100 people that are marching with you out of pride, or standing out there out of pride, because this story is just so inspirational. I can't think of anything. It's one of the best stories that I've heard, and I have to thank you for not only pulling it together, but coming in and talking to our audience about it.
Well, thank you. And I want to thank you for allowing me to appear on your show, for inviting me. And I want to thank you for your carrying the mantle through your work with the Greek cultural resources and gathering up all those documents. Because everybody's dying. They're dying off. And all these documents are probably being thrown in the trash.
That's a sad thing. It's so true, Peter. It really is.
It is.
And people hear this. They're hearing it now. And they'll just go on and have a cup of coffee or go on to their next email. And, but you got to get involved. It was interesting that there were calls to action in the years that your granduncle was alive. He put out, and the Greek community put out, calls to action. Why couldn't there be a call to action to preserve our heritage?
Well, I think you're doing it right now.
Thank you. Yeah. We'll do it together, Peter, you and me. We'll make it happen. You are tuned to Grecian Echoes here on WNTN 1550 AM in Cambridge, Needham, and Boston. We're streaming at WNTN1550AM.com. Our guest this morning was attorney Peter A. Sinopoulos, and he has put together the story of his granduncle, George C. Demeter, who lived from 1893 to 1983. And a wonderful story, very, very inspirational. I encourage you all to look further into it. And thank you again, Peter, for coming in.
Thank you.